It is good to be back tonight in the house of the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. I thank the Lord most of all for his spirit this morning. I thank him for his power and preaching me in the unction. But I also appreciate the liberty. Any preacher that has been anywhere can tell you sometimes when you stand in a pulpit, it is like you are choking on sawbriars and cotton. And I thank the Lord for not having that issue this morning. And I pray that the Lord shows up in this place tonight, because I have been asking him all day. I told Pastor Lawson when I came, I didn't really need a room. I've got a wife and daughter, so they can find stuff for me to do in between service. But they were gracious and kind enough to give me one, and I appreciate it, and I took full advantage of it, especially after that wonderful meal, the hospitality. I think my kids told me on the way here that I was fast asleep before they even walked out the room telling me where they were going. But I appreciate that. And whoever made, what's it called? Million dollar pie? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Who did that? You did that? Are you adopting? Because my word. Well, I mean, one more wouldn't hurt. All I need is that. I mean, I can take care of myself otherwise, but if you could just take care of that portion of it, I'd be much appreciative. It was absolutely fantastic. Everything was great, top to bottom. I could answer that because I got most of it. But no, it's been wonderful today. I appreciate y'all's hospitality, having me here, the love and kindness, the friendship. And like I say, I said it this morning, but I want to voice it again. I truly appreciate the impact that these men, this church, has impacted in my life. As I was pulling in tonight, I told my wife and kids as I was coming in, I said, I remember the first time I walked through the doors in the old sanctuary. I remember the first time I sat down in there. I actually think that particular message is on YouTube when I came up here with my grandfather the first time, because I'm pretty sure he called me out and used me as an example for something. But this place holds a special, special place in my heart, near and dear to me, and I thank the Lord for it. And I thank the Lord for putting things like that together, that our spirits are kindred spirits here. If you got your Bibles tonight, I'm kind of stuttering and stammering around right now because I've been in betwixt two sermons, and I'm praying that the Lord just leads me and points me in the right direction tonight, because I want to be sensitive to him. Most of all, I want to do what he wants, not what I want. So if we get halfway through this and I realize this is the wrong one, we'll just start over. Is that all right with y'all? No, I believe we're going to be in Leviticus tonight. Book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. While y'all are turning there, let me ask y'all a question about your Bible. How many of y'all, by saying amen, would agree that this is the Word of God? The King James Bible you have in your hand. Let me ask you this also. How many of you feel like every word, every jot, every tittle, every punctuation has meaning in this scripture? I say that because I hear this time and time again. So many times it makes me sick to the point where I think that people are actually starting to believe it. When they say that, is this thing on? Can y'all hear me? When they say that the Lord is not into the details. How many's heard that? You've heard that. It's like, the Lord's not, he's looking at the bigger picture of things. He's looking at things that really make an impact. That person has never read the book of Leviticus, if they believe that. There is so many different
details in there. Yes, I realize it's Old Testament. Yes, I realize it's law. But can I tell you, every jot, every tittle points to something, has purpose. It's a picture of something. It's a promise of something. It's a type of something. And it is important to us. It's the details that help us. And I'm going to try my best with the Lord's help tonight to kindly show you a little bit of that from the Old Testament, from the book of Leviticus. And you know, everybody knows when you start reading your Bible plan through in a year, when you get to Leviticus, you're like, oh, Lord, please help me through this. But devil is not in the details, okay? That phrase, y'all heard that phrase? The Lord is in the details. He has detailed it out for each and every one of us. There's specifics. There's certain things that we are to follow and abide by. And if you said, like you said you did in the beginning, that this is God's word and it all means something, can I tell you tonight it means something? Amen. Leviticus chapter number 6, verse number 8 is where we're going to start. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest, pay attention here, details. And the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them aside beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Does that sound like details to y'all? God's wanting something done with specificity, is he not? But here's something else. It's very specific in verse number 12. That's where we're going to get our main thought from. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Verse number 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. Let us pray. Lord, I come to you in prayer once again, Lord. Lord, I am asking for you to move me entirely out of the way, Lord. If I have to go in a back room and preach so you can be magnified, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I need your touch right now. I need you to settle my spirit, calm my nerves, touch my lips tonight. Lord, I just want to be your mouthpiece. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Lord, I need your anointing. I need your power. Lord, the church needs your anointing and your power. We need it tonight. We need you to fill this place with your spirit tonight, God. That's the only way anything gets done. That's the only way any preaching will ever get done tonight, Lord. If you will preach through me. Lord, open the hearts of people and not just the ears tonight. Lord, I pray that your word will go out and it will just flood people's hearts tonight, God. Lord, I'm praying right now that you keep the things out of my mouth that I shouldn't say and put only those in that I should. For it's in Christ's sweet and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. The Bible says in verse number 12, it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. The title of my sermon tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to try my best to preach about, don't let your fire go out tonight. Don't let your fire go out. We don't believe that this is God's word tonight, correct? We don't believe that everything has meaning. We believe that everything has promise and is pictures of something. Can I tell you tonight, when God said, don't let your fire go out, he means, guess what? Don't let your fire go out tonight. Now, the devil is not the one in details. We said that already. The Lord is in the details. He's in the very specific nature of things. He's the one that has a direction that he is trying to get. Listen, not just me, not just Pastor Lawson, not Brother Barry, not Brother Lucas. He has a direction that he is trying to point every single individual in tonight. And he has an order that he wants things done in. He has a way that he wants things done in. And can I tell you tonight, when you start following in his path, when you start following his details that he gives, that's the only way you'll ever have a fire in your life that will not go out tonight. I want to look at just a few things tonight. Y'all got my belly full and I feel all good and ready to go tonight. I drank a Red Bull before I got here to try to get me through the sugar fix. But so we're going to try our best to get through this. But when I want you to turn over also to chapter number nine, because if there is anything in this world that I know about outside of church, it's fires. It's fires. You can ask my wife, my kids, my mom, my dad. I am a pyromaniac. Pyromaniac. I will literally open stuff up and get things so I can just have the boxes to burn. I will be out in the woods somewhere, and if I got a fire going and that thing starts getting small, guess what I'm doing? I'm cutting down dead branches. I'm pulling limbs and trees and everything. I'm trying to get that fire going. I love it. I love burning a fire. I love a campfire. I love everything about it. But the first thing I know about a fire, just like anyone else in here, there ain't just some fire that's going to spontaneously combust right here in front of us, is there? Fire's got to start somewhere. A fire has got to start somewhere. In chapter number 9, we look over there in verse number 24, and it says, "And there came fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw," what? "They shouted." They shouted and fell on their faces. Specific right there. They shouted. They shouted and they fell upon their faces. Do you know why they shouted? You know why they fell on their faces? It's because all of a sudden, God from out of heaven brought forth a flame of fire and consumed that offering that the people had brought. Consumed what they were there sacrificing for their sins, making atonement for all the things they had done wrong. All of a sudden, God manifests himself in what is called a theophany right there when he presents himself as this magnificent fire that comes and consumes that offering that's there to atone for their sin. Can I tell you today, one day, God sent his son to earth to come and live 33 and a half perfect years upon this earth. And he went to the cross, not just to atone, but to cover and cleanse us from all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness. And then when he went to the grave and was buried and he came back on that third and glorious Easter Sunday morning, somebody say amen right there. Guess what came after that? The Holy Ghost came. You said it in Sunday school this morning as a fire, did it not? Now, I'm not talking about Pentecostal, and I can't stand the word Baptistal because we were praising the Lord and thanking him way back here in Leviticus before the Pentecostals ever had a chance to. Somebody say amen. That's scripture right there. And then they took that and they perverted that, and now we've got these people that are called what? Catchers. You know why they're catching them? Because they're not in the details. It says they shouted and fell. What way? They fell on their faces. They fell out of humility. They fell out of honor. They fell out of respect. They didn't fall out of the Spirit. They don't need nobody to catch you when you're sitting there bowing your head humbly before a thrice holy God. Somebody help me preach tonight. Because a fire came. The fire started somewhere. just like in the Old Testament. The same thing happened in the New Testament. A fire came. Guess what? There's a fire that's burning inside me tonight. It's like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. Somebody help me. And I could not stay. When you've got a fire burning in you, like the Holy Ghost that comes in you, there is no other fire that can burn so hot, so real, so heavenly, all at the same time tonight. And the Bible tells us right here, we're not supposed to let our fire go out tonight. But it's got to start somewhere. There's people sitting on pews all across this country. Tonight, this morning, Wednesday, they'll sit in here and they'll come in and they'll take up their section of a pew on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they will sit there just as cold as ice.
Yeah.
Ice cold.
Yeah, right.
They'll listen to great men of God stand in pulpits. And there is other great men of God out there standing in pulpits across this nation.
Yeah.
And they'll sit there and they'll be so cold on the inside.
Exactly right.
I'm not saying that they're not saved. Possibility. But it may be that they've let their fire go out. They've let their fire go out. I'm afraid tonight. I'm afraid most of all that the Baptists in general have let their fire go out. Because we've had it stolen. We've had it perverted. We've had it twisted. We've had people point and call names and say this and that and this about us. And it's caused our fire to go out. But can I tell you tonight, we're not supposed to let our fire go out.
That's right, man.
Now that fire started from somewhere. We talked about that. That started from the Lord.
Right.
Old Testament, sent it down in a theophany. That was a fire. New Testament, sent it in His Holy Spirit. A part of the triune Godhead. That if you're saved, guess where it's living at tonight? Guess what? I don't think somebody's fire is burning tonight, because if you did, you would realize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you tonight. Yeah. There's a reason that the Bible says they shouted to them and then they fell on their faces. There's no more shouting going on in churches like it used to be when I was growing up. There's no more people that are running to altars falling on their face like they used to when I was growing up. I should preach a sermon on the things that we used to do. But can I tell you tonight, we used to do those things because the fire has gone out in us. Can I tell you, He lives inside of me. I'm glad about it. I don't care who knows it. I'll stand up and shout to the heavens because He lives inside of me tonight. I don't want my fire to go out. It's not up to the Lord. It's not up to the Lord to keep your fire burning. The fire's there. It's up to us to keep the fire burning. They shouted and fell on their faces. Fire started. Fire starts somewhere. Not only do you see that the fire starts somewhere, but then the fire's got to be stoked. How many of y'all ever been out somewhere, bonfire, campfire, any kind of fire you want, and you will have this big, huge pile of lumber? I mean, you can have pallets, trees, cardboard. I mean, stacked as high as your head. And you'll go over there, and if it's in my case, I've got a can of WD-40 and a lighter to get it started. And you'll start that fire. And you'll, before it even starts, I've said it 1,000 times. Boy, this fire is going to burn all night long. You'll go and you'll start that fire. And then within 30 minutes, what do you got? Nothing but ash. Your fire is dwindling down. Listen, we come in here on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and we get our fire stoked. We get things added to our fire. Because, listen, after a few days out in this world, brother, your fire is going out. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Your fire is going out.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it don't even take getting home.
Yeah.
Now, this is hyperbole. This is not what I do. But most of the time, you get in the car with your wife and kids, and there's already a fight before you get out of the parking lot. Not us. And that's just the devil throwing water on your fire. Your fire is slowly dwindling down. But it says that the fire has to be stoked. It has to be taken care of. And it talks about the priest, I'm pretty sure. The priest is the one who is, again, details. Take off your breeches, your linen breeches, put these on, grab the ashes, do this, do this, do that, do this, the other. It's the priest's job in the Old Testament to stoke that fire, is it not?
Right.
To take care of that fire. But I am pretty sure there is a Bible that says ye are a what? Royal? Somebody help me. I know this preacher said it from the pulpit. I know there's got to be it said in here 100 times. But ye are a what? A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A chosen generation. That's you tonight. Can I tell you tonight, unequivocally, unapologetically, it is not this pastor's job to stoke the fire in here tonight. It's his job to get up here and preach the word to you. But you know what? It's everyone's job in here to stoke the fire tonight. You're the royal priesthood. You're the chosen generation. You are the ones that are supposed to get down there, clean out the ashes, take the junk out of it, take the trash out of it, take all that stuff out of your life. Because if you don't, that fire will go out. And the Bible tells us, don't let your fire go out tonight.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Boy, I'm telling you. I'm sorry, but Pastor Lawson is one of my favorite pastors in the world. Always will be. Outstanding preacher. I've said it from pulpits across this country. I ain't trying to build you up, Pastor. I'm not. I get nervous around this man. Like even sitting over there eating today. Okay? That's true life. That's just the way it is. Intelligent, brilliant, knows I'm probably even knows Aramaic and just don't tell nobody. And he can do all that up here. All of it. Brother Barry, my goodness, this man, I can call him with any issue I've ever had. Can I not? We've had conversations that are between us that are serious about what church members we want to do bad things to and different things like that. I mean, that wasn't him saying that. That was, but I'm telling you, great men of God. I've got to know Brother Lucas over the past, what, 3-4 years now? You've got another one coming up right here. No doubt about it. I mean, I trusted him with my church and the church split, but you know, I'm just kidding. I gave him a hard time. That's a joke we got going. But no, listen, I would call any of these men for anything. Do anything for me. Brother Barry's been doing a wonderful job with the choir. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Singers, everybody that gets up here and sings like an angel. I'd give anything to be one of those preachers that could get up here and preach to you and then sing to you in the middle of the sermon. But I ain't that guy. But they can do all of that. All of that. But if they get out here and they give their heart, their soul, everything they've all got, put every single bit of it, and they get it out here and they're giving it out to you and it's falling up on some wet wood, guess what? That fire's never going to burn.
Amen.
Never going to burn.
Try.
You have got to be able to stoke that fire, because if you do not put some work in, if you do not follow some of the details, I mean, simple things, study to show thyself approved, little things like that. You are never going to get out the fullness of your fire, what God wants you to get out of it. We had one priest that was there at the temple. One priest had to take care of this fire. Had other people that had to take care of what he was taking care of after that. He just had a 5x5 brazen altar that he had to care for. But one man fire, a fire can go out a whole lot quicker than you realize, can it not? I mean, you can turn your back on a fire, and the next thing you know, guess what? That fire's out. That's the same thing in your heart. The exact same thing. I don't know why the Lord's keeping me right here on this point. Let me give an illustration. Well, this will work just great. That priest had to get up in the morning, did he not? Had to get up in the morning and take care of that fire from the morning. I sought the face of the Lord in the morning. That's what Psalm says, right? In the morning. Let me ask you, what are you putting on the fire in the morning? In the morning, we'll wake up. If it's like me, I got to have my coffee before I even wake up. Get your coffee. But we're supposed to seek the face of the Lord in the morning, right, Pastor Lawson? In the morning. But this is the decision that we get put with about our fire. About stoking your fire. Your fire can go out through the night. You ever been to a campsite and you've got a fire going, and then you say that fire will hold through the night? You get up in the morning and it's just a few embers. But in the morning, you've got a choice to stoke your fire. You've got a choice to decide what you are going to put on that altar. You've got a sacrifice that has to be made. You've got a choice that has to be made, but too many times we choose this right here over this right here and what we're putting in our fire. Listen, you're only going to get a good fire if you put good material in it. It's too bad today that all we're filling our life up is with this right here. You know, they call them reels. They're called reels for a reason, because they just reel you right in. And they'll keep reeling you in. How many times you started on a reel and before you know it, an hour's gone by? When's the last time you spent an hour stoking your fire?
Yeah.
When's the last time you have showed that much interest in the Scripture as you have at watching somebody get a kick out of them or some influence that they might give on you? Listen, if we would fill our lives up with this influence right here, if we'd put it on our fire wouldn't be out like it is tonight. Lord doesn't want your fire to go out. But too many times, I hear this all the time. I hear, boy, I would love to be closer to the Lord. Y'all heard that? I would love to be walking closer with the Lord. I would love. I'll get in churches where spirit's good like it is in here, and there'll be people, well, I'd love to be able to worship like that. What's your fire look like? What's your fire look like? Has it got cluttered up with ashes? What have you been putting on your fire to build it up? Listen, you want a good fire? You start putting some good kindling on it. You start putting some good material in it. You don't go get green saplings to put on a fire, do you? You get them real dry ones. And you put them things on there and they'll catch real fast. Can I tell you, you start pouring that word into your fire, you start pouring it into your soul, you start feeding that flame and fanning that flame, guess what? It'll burn out of control one day. You'll come show up at church on a Sunday, the pastor will say something that hits a heartstring with you, and before you know it, you are shouting and falling on your face like the Scripture says. You know why? Because your fire is burning again. We need our fire to start back. We don't need our fire going out anymore. It's It's dead enough as it is. I'm sick and tired of deadness. Why we sit around on our hands like that's the way we got to worship? Listen, we should be shouting to high heaven tonight if we got a fire burning inside of us. Got to stoke the fire. I'll hurry and I'll be done. There's something else about fire. Something I know a whole lot about. That fire, it says, don't let the fire go out. There was people specifically that had a responsibility to that fire. Illustration to tie this together. So one day I was burning some trash. We had a burn hole. And y'all got a burn hole where you got a backhoe or a track hoe and dug this big pit? We had one of them when I was a kid. I say kid, I was probably 18. I was old enough to know better. My dad owned a propane business too. Fire and propane. Y'all can do the math on this. So, Lord, I hope they're not watching right now because I'm going to get in trouble for this. So one day, I had this big pit going. Huge pit. Fired, I mean, this was probably no joke, no exaggeration, an 8 to 10 foot hole in the ground that my dad had dug, and we just burned everything in it. And I had this flame coming out of the hole higher than my head. So we're talking 15, 20 foot flames. Remember, propane company, grill bottles everywhere. And I thought, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen. Well, without me incriminating myself, let's just say, we know now. The fire spread. Spread fast. Like I had to go run in the house like I was a 7-year-old kid again. Mama, mama, the field's on fire. And it was on fire. And we had a big horse barn that was probably just 30 foot away from it. And by the time I had ran in the house saying, get water hoses and buckets, and came back around, it already had made a circle around the back of that barn. Didn't burn the barn. I mean, the ring is probably still there to this day. But that fire spread real quick. Real quick. Almost to the point of being out of control. But I'm using that as an illustration because us, as the church, it's our job to spread the fire. Amen. That fire, there was people, like I said, that had a responsibility to keep that fire going. Say, get Aaron and his sons, you know, go back and read the scripture again. I'm trying to save time here. I don't know how long I've been already. Y'all shouldn't have let me use my phone. I turned my clock off. So, I believe your pastor will know better than I will. I believe from the time of that first theophany of the fire that came down from the Lord, I believe it was a little over 800 years before the temple was destroyed. I'm pretty sure. I'm saying all that to say this. It was somebody's responsibility to not only stoke that fire, but to spread that fire. You say, what's important about that? Do you realize if there was not someone generationally taking care of that fire, others wouldn't have known about that fire? Everybody heard of a man by the name of David in Scripture? David wasn't there for that theophany, was he? He was not there when the Lord sent fire down, was he? But I'm pretty sure David saw that fire in his day. If he didn't see that fire, I doubt we would ever have that phrase, a man after God's own heart. What about Samuel? Was he there when that theophany came? No. There's a lot of biblical characters from Moses to 800, I think it's 860. I looked this up. I'm not just making this up. I think it's 860 years before that temple fell and that fire went out. That's a lot of generations, isn't it? I'm saying that to let you know. You see that little generation right there sitting beside you? Somebody's got to spread that fire to them.
That's right. That's good.
Somebody has to spread that fire.
That's right.
There is a generational gap between Pastor Lawson, Brother Barry, and myself. But you know what? That generational gap is also between me and Brother Lucas. I know I look like I'm 25, but I'm not. There is a spreading that has to take place. This is not up for debate. This is not a thought. This is something that the Lord tells us, that there was people that were specifically pointed out to carry out keeping that fire burning. And I'm telling every one of you in here tonight, if you can hear me right here, if you can hear me online, we have a responsibility to not let the fire go out. I have a responsibility. Thank the Lord. I praise the Lord for it. Both of my children are saved. My wife is saved. You know what? But I'm also smart enough to know if they know, or there might be a doubt in their mind, can I tell you, if they don't see some fire in me, if they don't see something in me, they won't want anything to do with me. They won't want anything to do with the fire that I might be faking tonight. We have a responsibility to spread that fire from generation to generation to generation and make sure it doesn't go out. Make sure these doors don't close. Make sure Ichabod is not written over a door somewhere, because it's been written too many places tonight, because people have let their fire go out in churches everywhere tonight. Got to spread our fire. Got to spread the fire. When you have a fire, it does not matter how dark it is. It can be pitch black everywhere. And that one little flame. I've read it before. They used to say how many miles away you could see just a single flame of a candle. I'll just tell you this. It's a long ways. But ain't it something to be able to look back through generations, Dr. Ed Ballou, and see a flame, to see a fire. Pastor Charles Lawson, to see a flame, a fire burning out here in this dark, dark, somebody help me, dark world. We've got somebody that's stoking a fire. We've got somebody that is spreading the fire every time he gets the opportunity. Brother Barry, I just had one of my Mount Rushmore moments here just this past month. I got to preach in the same revival as Brother Barry. But you know what? We were spreading the fire.
Yes, we were, brother.
We're spreading the fire, brother.
Yeah.
Because it's our duty.
Yeah.
Because we have to. Amen. We have an obligation.
Right.
Here I am, another generation passed. My fire has to shine to that generation sitting right there. It has to. It absolutely has to. Because if it stops with me, heaven forbid one day I see great-grandchildren. But what if I do? Who's going to have that fire? Sometimes I get more worried about Nadab and Abihu fire. That strange fire. That strange fire. See, you got a fire that started, you got a fire that gets stoked, you get a fire that gets spread, but sometimes you get some strange fire.
That's right.
Heaven forbid we don't spread our fire. And we let that strange fire take over. Because you know what that strange fire will do? Same thing it did to Nadab and Abihu. Send them straight to hell. That's it. Y'all feel the quietness in here all of a sudden? You feel the Spirit moving in here? Because we're sitting in churches with no fire. We've let our fires go out. We're sitting in churches with never even having a fire started inside us. You think because you fill your spiritual quota for the weekend that checks off a box and that gets you somewhere. It doesn't. Can I get some help on the piano? The Lord told me to have an altar call real quick here. I'm done.
I'm shutting the Bible. Let me give you this one last thing. We're sitting in churches deader than 2 a.m. in the morning. Deader than 2 a.m. in the morning. My other sermon that the Lord had on my heart and I couldn't get liberty about was Psalms 100. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Couldn't get liberty about it, but I know why now, because I can feel the Holy Spirit moving in here. Convicting people. That's what that is, that you're hearing, that you're feeling, that you're seeing right now. I've been doing this long enough to understand when the Holy Ghost says to, it's time. But I want to tell you this. I heard a story one time about a preacher that was real good about visiting his members, calling on them, checking on them. This was a small church, so it ain't like he had 500 people to go checking on or something like that. This was just a small mountain church. And he said he had one gentleman in the church on fire. This is the quote that's in this book. Said he was just on fire for the Lord for years. Years. Said he had a family member that had got out in sin, caused a lot of trouble in the family, and just broke the man's heart. We can relate to that. I mean, come on now. We've all been there, seen stuff like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But it said it. The man wasn't the same after that. Said one Sunday service of missing turned to two Sunday services of missing real quick. Wednesday night prayer meeting that he's always at, all of a sudden gets put on the back burner. What happens to your fire when that happens? Starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Yeah. Well, this pastor kept on this man. Continued daily. Hey, brother, missing you at church. Hey, brother, love to see you back on that second pew up front.
Amen.
Just things like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, well, yeah, I know. But before long, it got to the point where that man had just completely stopped coming to church. He had let the things that he had run into put his fire out. Can I tell you, you are not going to get any help with your fire if you don't do something for it. You are the one responsible for your fire. I've done told you, Pastor Lawson can get up here to preach till he's blue in the face. He can give you the wood to put on it even. But if you don't put it on it, won't never burn. Well, that preacher said one day he finally just went to that man's house after not seeing him for months and months and months. And it was a cold winter night. He said he made his way to his house and he got over there and he said that the man was sitting there in the rocking chair and could see the front door from his house. He was sitting there, saw the pastor coming, just flagged him on in. So the pastor came in. And he sat down right beside him. Never said a word. Never said a word. Remember, it's a cold night. I mean cold out. It's back in the mountains. And he looked down and he saw that fire that man had in his fireplace there. And the pastor just went over, never said a word, because all that was in that fireplace was just a few embers. Y'all seen that before where you've got ashes everywhere and it's just a little bit of redness down there. Not really enough to put off, but just a little bit of warmth. Said that pastor went over there, got a log from out of his stack, set it beside those embers. Said they sat there a few more minutes, never saying a word to one another. Before he knew it, that log that he had put beside those embers was burning again. I'm afraid that we've got to the point where we're just embers.
Yeah, that's good.
Where we're just embers.
Right.
And it might take some of us to show up,
yep,
and let a log get put next to our embers that are burning. Because if you got the Holy Ghost living inside you, that fire's not out.
Right.
It's not out. It might be real low. It might be just a few burning embers. But it would do all of us. I said all of us, including this one right here, to put a little bit more wood on the fire tonight. Yeah. To stoke that flame just a little bit more tonight. To spread that fire just a little bit more. Because when I tell you this, when you've been around some fire and you've sat there and you've got that fire all over you, you got that smoke on you, when you can walk out in the streets and people know you've been around a fire. That's the kind of fire we need in churches tonight. People need to know we've been around a fire when we leave this place. People need to know on a Monday morning when you hate work and you ain't had coffee and your boss is on your nerves. They need to know you've been about on a fire and you've got a fire burning in you and you're different than the world. You act different. You talk different. You look different. You walk different because you've got a fire burning inside you. We've let our fire go out. It would do us good tonight to say, Lord, you've told me not to let my fire go out. But I'm afraid I've let it burn down to just embers. As we stand to our feet all over the house, I'd like to ask you tonight, as they sing, I'd like to ask you, how big's your fire tonight? Is your fire burning like it should? Do you remember a day when you used to come to church and you'd raise a holy hand to heaven? You'd say amen when the choir sang about a risen Savior. Pastor would get up and preach about the cross and it would tear you up on the inside. If it don't do something to you, when you hear about the one who took all your sins, all your shames, and bore them there on Calvary's cross, and died and rose again, if it don't do something inside of you, guess what? Your fire is going out. You've got an opportunity in this place tonight to say, Lord, help me stoke my fire just a little bit. Your fire is important. Those little kids right there might be dependent on somebody's fire in here. Generations are depending on your fire tonight. You might be here tonight, say, preacher, I don't have a word that you have spoke to me that I understand the first bit. Maybe you've never got that fire started in your soul. It might be a good night for somebody in here to realize that they're lost and need a fire started inside of them tonight. They're going to sing. I'm going to sit down and turn it over to Pastor Lawson. How's your fire tonight? Just don't let it go out.